So this morning, the topic that we're going to talk about is the way back to destiny. Now, technically, this is not a part of the previous series that we've just came out of. But if you're anything like me, I like continuity. And I never knew that I liked that until I got married and she taught me administrative things of like how to do things and how to, you know, be cohesive, not just fly by the seat of your pants. My wife taught me that, Angie. She sits in the front, not by choice, just because that's where I am probably. But anyway, the way back to destiny. So the thing that I wanted to talk about today is just there's something that the Lord wants to do. And there's a way that goes back to where he wants to take us and where our destiny is leading us. And the central figure of what I want to talk about today is Jericho and a character in that story of Rahab. Now, I understand this is a family service, so please trust me. I won't do anything that will, you know, get in the way of your kids and the way that we're going to go about this. So trust me. But we're going to talk about Rahab, and we're going to talk about her place in this story. And I think the thing that I want and the thing that the Lord talked to me about this week as I was preparing a couple weeks ago, because, I mean, it's Christmas, so I had to have my notes in way long ago. I'm a really good person these days. But anyway, so the thing that I felt like the Lord has been teaching me for the past few weeks, because I preached a few weeks ago, was this idea that it was true in my life. It was definitely true in Rahab's life. And it's this idea that if you're still breathing, your story isn't finished. And that God isn't done with you yet, right? And I said, and there's so many times in our lives where we feel like the decisions that we've made and probably the bad ones that we've made have derailed us and cost us the anointing. They've cost us all the good things that the Lord did have planned for us. And the thing that I want to tell you this morning, and it's been true in my life, so I'm going to hope and pray, and I know that it's also going to be true in your life, is that I did my things, man. I walked away. I spent years walking my own path. And when I got to the end of that stage in my life, I said to the Lord, Lord, I know that I've left your plan A on the side. I know that. But what do you have left? May I have some crumbs that were left over from the person that I was? And the Lord laughs, and he says things like, no, Aaron, come on, man. I have your best still in order. I never stole anything away from you. You never lost the thing that has always been on your life. Now, if you, So I see Lyndon and Christy here today, and I haven't seen them. I probably haven't talked to them, I don't know, maybe since high school. But my point is saying that they're here this morning, and they get to look up on stage and be like, what the heck happened? They knew me 20 years ago, and they would say, nope, not a chance. I said the same thing. So my point is, like, this is what the Lord is able to do. Take you from a not very humble, conceited, cocky punk to the person that you see in before you. But the only way that is even close to being possible is by making choices. Wise choices to choose the Lord, choose to come back to him, choose to not let the sins of the past get in the way, and choose to break down those walls that we so often put up in front of the Lord and his ability to work in our lives. Because if you're still breathing, no matter what's happened in the past, he has some things that he wants to do in your life. In Joshua 2, in this story that's about Jericho, this story that is talking about Rahab and where we're going today. In Joshua 2, we read about Joshua sending out these two spies to Jericho to scout it out. Now, if you remember, Joshua and Caleb were the two of the 12 that went to scout out the promised land. And they went and they saw all the big things, all giants great and tall, right? We know the song, right? Do you guys want to do the song? Let's do it. Okay, so we're going to do the song. 12 men went to spy out Canaan, right? So I have a microphone in my hand, but I'm gonna tell you, it's really simple. You don't have to stand up, but you're gonna get to sing it with me, right? So it's 1, 2. 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. What did they see when they spied out Canaan? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Some saw giants, great and tall. Some saw God was in it all. Nope, I missed one, didn't I? Grapes, yes. Some saw grapes and clusters fall. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad, 2 were good, right? So, okay, that's good enough. We did that. But anyway, so that's the point. This is the story. I was excited about it. I didn't do it the first service because I was less excited, I guess. I don't know. Didn't see the possibility. Who knows? Nothing against the non-service people, but I don't know. Whatever. So that's the song. Loved it. But the point is, that's who they were. They were the two. They were the ones that saw what God was able to do, but they were overshadowed by the 10 that said, no, no. It's too big. They're too powerful. Everything. They're giants out there, you know? There's no way we can do it. And so that is what we came up against then, and that is where we are now. So he sends out these other two. And perhaps he chose two because he was one of the two and hoped that the two would overshadow no one, you know, rather than the 10. Who knows what his points were? But he sends out the two, and they go, and they find their way to Rahab's house. I don't know why. I don't know how the story goes. I'd love to be able to tell and ask the Lord, you know what? I just need to know the intermingling of the details. I want to know how that happened. But either way, I think that the Lord sent these two to Rahab's house. And so we're going to pick up that story, and I'm going to read it. But the reality is, so they send these guys to Rahab's house, and the king sends to Rahab saying, hey, we heard that these two are with you. Bring them to me. Now she lies. She says, I don't know where they were from. And more so, I don't know where they're going. They left a while ago, but hurry, go find them, because they can't have gotten far, right? I would like to think if I was in Rahab's shoes, I would have told a similar lie, because you know you have to have it be true and like, hurry, go get out of my house and find them. They can't have gotten far, right? So I like to think that's who she was, but she lies and says that, right? Okay. So we pick up this story in chapter 2 in verse 8. It says this, that Rahab has hidden the spies on the roof, and this is what she says to them. In verse 9, it says this, Rahab said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted and there was no spirit left in any man. Because of you, for the Lord our God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my family and deliver our lives from death. So the next verse says that they agree, and they say, yes, we will do this for you. As sure as we live, if this happens, we will save you, whatever it looks like. And if you remember, a month ago, we preached a sermon, not me, Justin preached a sermon about Jericho. And that's the thing that he was sharing was, no one knew exactly how this thing was gonna play out. The Israelites knew that they had the promised land. Somehow Rahab knew that the Lord was gonna do something. She knew, we know that you have this land and it's yours, right? So we all know what the coming is, but we don't know how it's gonna play itself out. It hasn't happened yet. But Rahab knows that the Lord is going to show up. So when he does, please save me and my family. That's her goal here. And then, once they agree, she allows them to escape by a different way. So I think the thing that the Lord really wants us to hear this morning and wants us to kind of understand is that Rahab, like most of us, has made a few mistakes along the way. Some would say she's made some rather large ones and probably ones that you probably shouldn't be able to come back from in the world as the world works. You would say, I don't know about this. I don't know how the Lord's gonna redeem that, right? But the reality is, if there's anything that's been true in my life and many of our lives, is that the Lord can take us out of that thing. One of my favorite verses of all the Bible, and I know I say that a lot, is the fact that, like, the Lord says, he reached me up out of the pit of destruction and put me on solid ground. That is the idea that we're talking about this morning. That the Lord is able to lift Rahab out of her darkness and put her on solid ground because she's been obedient in the things that he has asked of her, right? So she's walked out of a lot of things that would derail many of us. And God sends these two spies to her house. And I don't know why. I would love to know why, but I don't know how, and I don't know how all the interminglings of the Lord's plan, but I hope someday I can figure them out because these are the things that keep me up at night. I want to know the inner workings of the Lord's mind. I want to be like, what would have happened if? Well, I wonder if you'd have turned back the time stone, you know, how the other possibilities would have worked. That's a Marvel joke, but it's fine. But anyway, for the time being, I just want to talk about the facts, right? So the Lord sends these two to her house. And I think if the facts are that it's ultimately just for their well-being and he knows, you know, go to Rahab's house, she'll protect them. That's the most important thing. That could be it. That's probably true. Or I like to think it has something to do with ultimately, I think the Lord wants to show his love and kindness to his daughter who has made a few mistakes. I think that's a piece of the puzzle. Last week, we talked about the prodigal son and how when he was in the pig pen, he turned back towards home. And I think that's a beautiful picture of how when we are walking our own path, it doesn't take a long time. All it takes is we were going this way. We turn back towards home. And I think that is the piece of the puzzle that we often lose. It's like, well, I'm not there yet. I've got a lot of work to do. That might be true. But at least your eyes are fixed on Jesus. At least you're looking back towards home. And I think that's the most important piece of this puzzle. But when the son is looking back towards home, that's a big piece. And I think the thing that the Lord wants to teach us and tell us today is that sometimes he'll be like he did with Rahab and visit you in the pig pen. Sometimes he'll come right into your darkness and say, hey, it's time to make a choice. You have these two. Why don't you just go ahead and protect them? And she could have said no. She could have said, no, they're going to come after me. They're going to kill me. I can't protect you guys. She could have done that. But in this case, she did not. And did she think it was somehow tied to something else? Maybe. But ultimately, the Lord is showing his love and kindness to this daughter who has made mistakes to show her that he still has a plan for her. Whether she realizes it or not, she takes a hold of that possibility because she knows who the Lord is. And lastly, I think just maybe, I think that part of it has to do with this idea that she has a very childlike, very elementary version of what's called the fear of the Lord, right? And I think the thing that I always feel like I need to say is because in this society, we have a very fearful, very anxious, like, mind frame that exists, right? So I think the thing that I always tell the students and about the fear of the Lord, because I love talking about it, is that it's not as much about knowing what he has the ability to strike down entire armies of people, right? It's not that. Although, I won't say that that's not a piece of the puzzle, right? We know he's big. We know he's powerful. But I think the thing that I'm talking about this morning and the thing that the fear of the Lord means to me is this idea that we know who he is and we know who we were and we know that we have to choose him as our Lord, not just our Savior. Because so often we don't have a problem with, yes, God, come save us from who we were. But sometimes we lose the fact that he now has to be our Lord and direct our paths. And that we can't just be saved, but we have to move to the next thing of this is who we are now. And he has to change our lives from the people that we were to the people that he wants us to be. So it's this idea that we have the fear of the Lord that changes us from the people that we were to the people that we are. It's knowing who the Lord is and knowing what he wants to do in our lives. And I choose him. No matter what happens in my life, no matter the good, the bad, the ugly, I choose him because he's the only thing I have. I know who I was before, and I don't want to go back there, so I have to choose him and whatever he has for me. That's what the fear of the Lord is, and that's what I feel like Rahab had a glimpse of. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's just the beginning of wisdom. And that's what I think she is starting to possess, this wisdom. And she doesn't even probably know it's in its entirety. It's this idea that I don't know what the Lord is about to do, but I know that he's going to do something. I know that the Lord has given you this land. I know what the Lord has done in the past. This is the beginning of wisdom. I know what he's done. And I know that my heart melts and the spirit leaves our bodies when we think about this Lord that you serve. And I know that the Lord, your God, is God in heaven and on earth. So something is going to happen here. And that's what wisdom says. And that's what the fear of the Lord says. God is at work. I just want to be on his side. I just want to be obedient to what he has for me. Because I truly believe that Rahab had something in spite of her past that those 10 spies that Joshua and Caleb went out with that they didn't have. In spite of everything that she's walked through, she had something. Those 12 men walked through the Red Sea. They walked through. They saw the miracles. They saw water coming out of rocks. And yet they went, spied out Canaan, and said, no, no, those men are too big for us. She had something that those men didn't have. And it's the idea that the Lord is bigger and stronger than whatever it is that I see. You see, Jericho's walls were thick, double thick. There's a big, thick wall, space, big, thick wall. On paper, they don't win this battle. On paper, Jericho wins every single time. And yet, somehow Rahab knew, I don't know how, but God is gonna do something. He's gonna step in. This is your land. And this is who the God of this Israel is. And I don't know how, but I know it's gonna happen. And I think it's cool the way that every single time the Lord does show up. He shows up in this story. He shows up in my story. And he shows up in so many of your stories. And it may seem different. And it may look different in each of ours. But at the end of the day, many, many times, just like Jericho, we lift up a shout. And in this case, they worship and they shout. And these mighty walls come down, right? And I can obviously say in my life, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know it looked something like this. I lifted up my worship. I lifted up a shout unto the Lord, and I said, God, I don't want to do it my way any longer. God, if you have anything, any plans for me, I would love to see it because I've done it my way long enough. And just in my life, I know that those walls came tumbling down. Many times, it's walls that we put up. We put up those walls that say, no, God can't work in this way. In my life, I've done too much. We put up walls that say, well, no, because of this, and because of this, God can't. do these things. But Rahab knew something that so many others didn't, is God has the ability to do what he has put out to do. It's this idea that Peter had. You know, who am I? Who do the people say I am? All right, well, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, no, flesh and blood didn't share this with you, right? So you're carrying something that is supernatural. And it's the same thing with Nebuchadnezzar when he throws those three into the fire and then they come out. Obviously, now he sees it on the other side. But they come out and Nebuchadnezzar says, well, clearly, your God has the ability to do things that no other God can. And that's the God that we serve. He has the ability to break down walls. He has the ability to take us out of fires and leave no remnants of the fire on us. He has the ability to save us from the things that we've done in the past. Like Rahab, take you out of a place and put you into the place that he has for you. Because it says in Joshua 6, verse 25, the end of this story, when they promise, but Rahab and her father's house and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So she's lived in Israel. Never read that for a long, long time. And it's hit me like a ton of bricks these past few weeks. She lived in Israel to this day. There's two other times in scripture when Rahab is mentioned. Technically, there's a third time, but I'll get into that one in a little bit. But there's a time in Hebrews, chapter 12, chapter 11. Not even close. Well, it's close. Chapter 11 says this, by faith. So this whole chapter is a bunch of by faith, Abraham, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Sarah, like all of them. By faith, these people did these things. And then that little section ends with, by faith, Rahab did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. She was obedient to what the thing that the Lord asked her to do. She made a lot of mistakes, but by faith, she didn't perish because she did what God asked her to do. In James chapter 2, verse 25, it says, in the same way, was not also Rahab justified by works when she was received, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Wasn't she justified by her works? She did a lot of works, but she was justified by these ones. That chapter 2 of James puts her and Abraham in the same picture. These two knew what they believed. Faith became works. It wasn't just they believed, that went into action. These two, just these two. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it goes all the way through all the pillars of our faith, the pillars of the Israelite people. It gets to her, they make sure to mention her, and then all of a sudden, the writer of Hebrews says, okay, clearly I've been going along too long, I'm gonna just wrap this up. There's clearly too many more, there's a lot more that I wish I could name, but for the sake of time, I have to stop. But before he went into that, he said, no, let me make sure and mention Rahab. Because it's really important for us to put Rahab and all the pillars of the faith in the same sentence, because God is able to use the Abrahams. He's able to use the Jacobs, and he's able to use the Rahabs. And I know that's been true in my life, so I have to assume that it's true for you guys. This morning, he wants to use you regardless, or if you're like me, irregardless of what has happened in your past. He wants to use those things to make you who you are. Many times I looked at my life and I said, man, God, I don't know how you're gonna use me after everything I've done. And I would venture to say, and I am not the Lord, and I would ask him this, but I'm pretty sure I know. I am the man I am. I have the fire that I have because I walked away and he received me back. That's me. Because I think the thing that the Lord wants us to know this morning is that faith is one thing. Obedience is a whole other thing. But when we come face to face with Jesus, it changes you. Faith in Jesus is one thing, but believing in Jesus is a whole other thing, because the way of Jesus, it changes you. And those are things that we've been talking about the whole month. The way of Jesus, the way of Christmas, the way that we've walked through this life, it brings us back to God. It changes the way we relate to others. But the way of Jesus changes you. And Rahab made a choice. And those are the things that I really feel strongly that we need to hear this morning. The way of Jesus, when we truly believe in Jesus, it changes you. And you have to make a choice to be obedient to the things that he's calling you to do. So these are the things. In closing, these are the things that we know about Rahab. So from this verse in Joshua, we hear that she's lived in Israel to this day, right? Okay, so that's pretty cool. Rahab's family, they're the only survivors of Jericho. And I would venture to say, if that was the end of her story and we never heard about her ever again, we would say, cool, she saved her family from this thing because she, you know, she saved the spies. That's pretty cool. But there's more. So she lives in Israel till she dies. So I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. You know, the Israelites take her in because, you know, she's been obedient and she gets to live in this nice, cool Israel's promised land for the rest of her life. I'm like, oh man, that's really cool. That's a blessing, right? No, there's more. We know that she marries an Israelite man. His name is Salmon. And we know that she and her husband have a son, and his name is Boaz. And we know that Boaz was definitely raised in the knowledge of what God did for his mother. He was raised in the knowledge, and I have to imagine that the story has been told in his house. Boaz, this is who I was, but God was able to do these things in my life. He saved me. He saved our whole family. And now, your father, we got married, and now we have you. Like, these stories had to have been told because it changed Boaz. He was a rich, wealthy Israelite man who owned a bunch of land. And he chose to be kind and loving to a widowed Moabite girl who was just gleaning on the edges of his land. And her name was Ruth. And he married her. And they are listed as the great-grandparents of King David. And then 28 generations later, the baby Jesus that we are celebrating. So we understand that we go, this is what the Lord, this is what Jesus wants to be telling us today. Look at the people that have been my ancestors, right? Obviously, he is God, so let's take that with as many grains of salt as we go. But like, his earthly family is Rahab, is Ruth, is these people who the world would say are outsiders, who the world would say is, I don't know about that one. But who Jesus says, no, these are the people that are important. These are the people that I choose to use. Not the greats, although there are some great ones, but I wanna make sure that you see that I'm willing and able to use the ones, and I choose to use the ones who have even made a mistake. And that's the only way that me, have any hope on this earth, that he's willing to use the ones that are broken. He's willing to use the broken toys like me. He's willing to use the ones who have made mistakes and choose to be used by him even though. The ones that he had to pick up out of the pit of destruction than the ones that he chooses to put on solid ground. And so my hope for you this morning is just allow him to choose you. Allow him and choose to hear him and fear him as Lord and to worship him and to see him as the only one that you need, right? That's that thing of the fear of the Lord is, I need you more than I need the breath in my lungs. The thing that I know about myself is I'm not just throwing out, I'm nothing. I'm not special. Like I said, people know me back when I was an idiot. They know I'm not anything special. The only thing that I know, and the Lord has told me over and over again, is, Aaron, I'm going to keep using you as long as you do what I ask and as long as you give me the glory. And I know that those things have always been true. In spite of the storms, in spite of the doubts, in spite of the things that I've had to walk through in my life, the times when I've doubted, the times that I've feared, the times when I've been hopelessly in this negative space of, God, what on earth are you doing? It never got to the point where I said, God, I don't know if this is worth it anymore. Never got there, because I knew that he saved me from too much. And I knew that he has a plan for me. And I don't know what it is, but I don't want me to get in the way of what he wants to do. So I allow him to do whatever he is at. I will continue to do what he's asked me to do. And I have to give him the glory, because I know who I was and I know what I was saved from. So I choose to allow him to use me. So as we step into 2025, I love preaching this sermon every year at this time, because it allows me to share with you what I feel like the Lord wants to do in this church and in each one of our lives as we move forward. I'm not one for, New Year's resolutions necessarily, but what I am for is just a shift in the brain that says, you know what, this year I'm gonna try to do these things, right? Okay. So here's some things that I feel like the Lord really wants us to do in this coming year. And I'll be honest with you, most of them are things that we should do all the time and every year. But this is something that the Lord has spoken to me that I think he feels like we should be about. Number one, I think that he wants us to put the past behind us. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be able to see what he's willing to do and to not allow the walls of your past to get in the way. So put the past behind you. Take hold of the promise that's coming. You may not see it. You may not know how. But take hold of the promise that's coming and know that he is able to do it. And in fact, he's the only one who's able to do what he's about to do. Make a choice. Just make a choice. Be obedient and do what he asks. One choice, hear me, one choice changes everything. Because then that one choice leads to the next promise that he has for you. I love those parables. You've been faithful over a few things here. Now I will give you more. I didn't go from the pit to the from the pig pen to the pulpit in 2 days. It took me very long. It's the Lord working. It's one thing after another. One choice leads to the next choice, leads to the next promise, leads to, all right, Aaron, you've been faithful for this. Now I'm going to do this. And bang, bang, bang. So one choice leads to the next promise. And then all of a sudden you look up and you see what God is able to do with your life and in your future. Because destiny is in a choice. Destiny changes in one split second and one choice. In Rahab's life, she chose to save those two. She didn't have to, but she chose to save them, hide them, and send them off a different way. And it was credited to her as faith. It was credited to her as righteousness. And she changed her destiny and the destiny of her whole family. And now all of a sudden, she is in the lineage of our Jesus because she made one choice that changes destiny. So this morning, my invitation is very, very simple. Choose him. As the worship team comes up in a few seconds, I want to invite you to whatever this is, a family service, whatever it looks like for you. Bring your family to an altar, whether it's a formula one or this actual one. Bring your family to the altar and say, just like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And maybe I know you've probably done that 1,000 times, but it's a step into 2025 and say, you know what? I may have made some bad mistakes in the past, but for me and my house moving forward, we will serve the Lord. I love the idea of putting a stake in the ground and saying, I remember that time that crazy young bald guy was talking about something, but we put a stake in the ground and we knew that God was going to do something amazing because we were obedient to do the thing that he asked us to do. So put a stake in the ground and say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And maybe be like Moses. And this is one of my, I love Moses. He was a friend of God. He spoke to God like a man speaks to his friend. And he told the Lord, hey, the Lord told him, hey, we need you to go and do this thing. We're going to go and go into the land. And he goes, hold on, well, are you going to come with us? And I don't know exactly how the Lord, this conversation went, but they were talking, whatever. Because Moses goes, if you and your presence doesn't come with us, I don't want to go. And that's the idea that I feel like I have always had, and I think that he's calling us to do, is A, no, that he would never ask you to go somewhere without him. He's with you. He's going to help you. He's your helper. He's your comforter. But wherever you go, make sure he's there with you, because that's the only thing that matters. There's a fear of the Lord that knows that you're going to walk with him every step of the way. And it may not be easy, and the storms may come, but he's with you. And his presence is the only thing that's important. His presence will go with you. The other thing I know is that legacy and destiny are tied to decisions, and the legacy of your family is huge. I know that I'm the man I am because my grandfather put a stake in the ground and said, no, my family, we will serve the Lord. And he prayed for us every single night, backwards and forwards. And I am the man I am because he did the things that he did. And I believe wholeheartedly that I'm on the stage today doing the things that the Lord has put me on this earth to do because my grandfather did it first. And he paved the way in this community or whatever, however that works out. But there's a family legacy that he put into the ground and I get to walk on. So those are the things that they all come from a choice. Me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Me and these students that I get to hang out with every week, I claim them. And for as far as it pertains to me, we will serve the Lord. We're going to go after it every week. I'm not a PlayStation and pizza guy. That's not me. We get together every week and we attack the things that the enemy is putting in our path. We attack them wholeheartedly because I want them to be changed. I want them to serve the Lord. So as we stand and the worship team comes, I'm going to pray. And if you want to take a literal walk to the altar and put you and your family, and you want to move forward and say, God, I just choose you. You can do that. We're going to sing, Run to the Father. So Lord, this morning, we pray that as individuals, we would run to you and say, God, I've done it my way long enough. I choose you. And as we gather the ones we love the most, that we would come together and as a family, we would say, God, together we will serve the Lord. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know how these walls are going to come down. We don't know how you're going to save us from all the things that we've made mistakes in the past or all the things that we're fighting right this second. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I trust you. And I'll claim you. And I'll say, God, you will make a way where there is no way, and I know it. So God, we choose you this morning. God, we thank you for what you're able to do in our lives. And Lord, this morning I pray that we would choose you. Because as we know, choice and destiny are so intertwined that there's so destiny and legacy is in one choice. So God, we choose you this morning. And we pray that as we walk back out these doors and walk into 2025, that you would be at the center and you would be the one that we're like, God, if you're not walking with me, I don't want to go. God, we choose you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you guys.